If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
Today we are doing our current favorite wellness practices, activities, experiences in each of the eight dimensions of wellness, which, sorry, I like was running around. I'm so out of breath because I was like, I need chapstick, I need water, I need a coffee. Honestly, we should leave that in there. This is actually normally a part we would cut. But I have all my things now. We're good.
No, that's so real. The 2 minutes leading up to starting, I'm like, oh, I gotta get everything. And then sometimes you actually are out of breath. And people don't realize how breathy you can get sometimes doing a podcast.
Really quickly. Like, it doesn't take much for that breathiness to come across on a podcast. I feel like if we were normally conversing, you wouldn't notice. Anyway, the Eight Dimensions of Wellness has been a foundation of our podcast for the last 3 years now, and it's always fun to revisit our point of view on this foundational element of the podcast because we're growing and changing people. So I feel like the things that we're into are naturally going to grow and change as well. And I thought you guys could turn this into a little, I don't know, self-care activity for yourself. I like doing this wellness check-in literally in my iPhone notes or in my notebook. I'll just write down these eight dimensions of wellness and rank myself, one being not doing very well in that category or 10 feeling like I'm thriving. And it's always interesting to have a point of reference to be like, wow, 4 months ago, why did I think that I was down so bad in that category and now I feel great? But bringing awareness to it, I think, can really help you make changes that are needed in order to get yourself out of a rut in some area.
Could not agree more. So before we do all that, of course, we're going to catch up, do our peaks of the week, and then we'll get into the topic.
And we are pre-recording because Miss Kara has a very exciting work trip coming up.
Yes, south of France for 10 days. And Allison very kindly agreed to get an episode in before I go, which we'll definitely record while I'm there as well, which actually won't be too hard because I'm going to be in the same time zone. We take breaks during these photo shoots and stuff sometimes when there's bad lighting or weather and stuff. So I feel like it'll be very easy to record there, but we always love getting ahead. That's something nice about having a podcast. You can do some episodes ahead of time, schedule them out. So yes, heading to France. I leave tomorrow I'm going to North Carolina for my grandpa's birthday, and then I leave from there to France. So I'm going to be gone for a little over 3 weeks, almost. I think it's going to be just shy of a month. And yeah, I have a lot to do today. After I get off of this, I'm going to be sprinting for the rest of the day in full panic mode, getting everything done to be gone for almost a month.
Oh my gosh. It's always the days right before a trip that crunch time kicks in. But that is why I need trips in my life, because nothing motivates me more than leaving for a trip. Yeah. I'll have things on my to-do list, not even pertaining to the trip, that I will put off for days, weeks. And then all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, today is the day I'm going to go to the print shop and print that thing that I could have done 2 weeks ago. And it's not even really like procrastinating. It's just like, well, maybe it is procrastinating. This might be by definition procrastinating, but it's like, I don't want to come home to chaos.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to leave with things as organized as possible. So I'm like deep cleaning my house and getting all of these things ready and preparing work stuff so that while I'm gone, it's like one less thing to think about in case something were to go wrong, then you're more prepared.
Yes. I mean, that's kind of to tie back into today's topic. I feel like that's an environmental wellness thing. When you said having a clean house when you come home from a trip, that's a must for me. And yeah, I just have a whole long list of things I need to tackle before I leave. Luckily, Connor will be here, so it's not anything crazy with the house or anything, but lots of things to do. And yeah, quick catch up here. Went to Omaha this weekend for a wedding. Drove. It was one of my really good friends, Natalie. So congrats, Natalie and Cole. It was so fun. Since I don't live in Omaha anymore, and I'm from Omaha, it was kind of like a little reunion, seeing lots of people from high school, lots of people that I've known for so long. and even Natalie's parents and her family, getting to see them. Yeah, such a beautiful wedding. And a funny story for you guys. At one point during the wedding, the bride and groom got on stage and they were singing and they were doing like live band karaoke with the band, which was so fun. And if you're going to do a band at your wedding, I say a stipulation, even if you can't sing, like Natalie's actually the worst singer I've ever heard in my entire life. She'll say that too. Cannot hit a single note, but it is such a fun energy vibe thing to get on stage with your band. And if you're having a live band, I say you must request that you get on stage with them and sing a couple songs. I literally said, I'm like, Natalie, you need to be up there the whole night. Like, I just want a Natalie and Cole concert now for the rest of the night. But it was so cute because one of the times that Natalie got on stage and was singing, I like look over and I saw her dad like taking a video and he's so happy and so proud. And I'm like seeing him film a video of her on stage. I literally started crying. I was like sobbing. And then my friend Hannah came up to me and she was like, are you okay? I'm like, it's just so cute. He's so proud, even though she's like literally the worst singer on planet Earth. And yeah, I think that was just like a really special moment. I'm literally crying again thinking about it because it's just so cute and wholesome. And it was just such a great time.
That is the exact word I was thinking, wholesome.
Yes.
It's the fact that she wasn't worried about being bad. She was like, I want to do this. It's special. And confidence took the crowd.
It's just like, that's his baby. Like, that's his daughter. And he gave such a good speech saying this. I'm literally crying right now thinking about it. But this is being an empath for you guys. I've had so many instances in last week where being an empath just makes me cry. And it's tough being out here as a water sign, Pisces. Someone who cries so easily because people are like, what's wrong with this girl? Like literally my friend came up, she like thought something happened. I'm like, no, it's just so beautiful. But yeah, just seeing someone who like 30 years worth, almost 30, goes by so fast. I'm like, wow, she was just a baby to him not long ago. And now she's getting married.
That's so true. I asked my dad what age he like perpetually sees me as. And he was like, probably like 9 or 10.
So
and
I'm going to keep crying.
And I feel like a lot of dads would say that. Honestly, girls, yeah. If your dad's around or you have a good relationship with him, you should ask him how old he sees you in his mind. Because like I have certain cousins that say I spent a lot of time with them at a certain point where like one of my cousins, he's 7 in my brain forever.
Yes.
Because that was like yes. When we always hung out was when he was 7. And now he's like 22. And I'm like, no, you're not. When I think of you, you are 7.
I know. A family friend was there. Their whole family was there. And the youngest daughter, when I was in high school, was literally 7. And she was 7 going on 30, like so mature, always has been. I saw her and gave her the biggest hug. I'm so obsessed with her. I'm like, Courtney, you're literally like 7-year-old Courtney always in my brain. I'm like, I cannot comprehend that you're in college. And she's like, I know. I'm like, no, you don't get it. I'm like, you are such an iconic child. So that is very true. Like, you definitely see some people in a certain age. I mean, obviously, you still see them now. But like, I still remember when you were 8 and like so sassy and fun and confident. So. Yeah, all the memories at this wedding.
Cute. Well, I'm glad it was a great time. And on Patreon, you guys will know, Kara shared some other weddings that had a little bit more drama. So I'm glad this one was just wholesome.
Yes, no drama. Nothing crazy happened. It was very short. Friday, we drove to Columbia, Missouri, where Connor has a brother and his sister-in-law live. And they watched Margo for the day. So that was really nice. So we got to have dinner with them on Friday night, hang out. Then Saturday, we drove to Omaha because we were going to go for the whole weekend, but we had seen a lot of people recently. Like Connor has a really good friend in Omaha, but we had just seen them. Like they were just in St. Louis recently. And I was just in Omaha. And so we were like, we don't need to go for Friday. So we just really went straight for the wedding, drove 4 hours from Columbia to Omaha, got there Saturday night, did the wedding, and then drove right back Sunday. So it was very quick, but yeah, great weekend and good to be in Columbia for a little bit. And hang out with our family.
Well, I'm glad before all of your travels that you got some good quality time with family, friends, Connor, wholesomeness before you're on the go with all the work stuff.
Yes. How about you? How was your week and weekend?
My week was both a lot of highs and both a lot of lows. I'm not sure if this really ties in today's episode, but I'm making it tie in where things just are sometimes. Like we'll have stuff in our life that is simultaneously really amazing, but then there's also like the reality side of things too. And so for example, we had to go to Amsterdam to get our first visa appointment. And I have been looking forward to this appointment, not because it's a fun thing to do, but for the peace of mind of knowing that, okay, finally the visa process is moving. We're getting the ball rolling to actually being able to stay here. Because at this point, we only have the 90-day tourist visa. We just furnished our home. I would really like to not have to leave. So I was really happy to finally get that appointment. But number one, literally the fee, $1,000, just the fee to start the paperwork. And then you have to make a $5,000 investment into the Dutch bank account. This is a very expensive week. And at the appointment, we got there at 9:30. Our appointment was supposed to be at 10. And so the guy was like, yeah, come back up to the counter at 10 when it's actually your appointment. So we go up there and he's like, okay, here's your number. Go back to the waiting room. Kind of like the DMV. You like wait just to get a number, just to wait more. So we're waiting. And then all of a sudden it's like 11:05. So we go back up and we're like, okay, we've been here for a really long time. And we're noticing numbers after us, all of these other people coming in that came and then left. So then we go up and they're like, oh my gosh, sorry. We thought you were at 11, but now we have to take the 11 o'clock family. So you're just gonna have to wait. So then we had to wait until like literally 12:30. It was fine. She was really nice, but it just took forever. And I'm just so over paperwork. Like, I don't know what the celebration is going to be, but once we finally get this visa and once all of this paperwork with baby and moving is done, I am going to be so happy. Like, the application for Clay and I's visas, like, probably like 50 pages. I'm saying that because I feel like on Instagram or talking here, it's like you share all the highs. Like, oh my God, moving to a new country. Like, it's so cute. It's so pretty. It's so fun. It's like, yes, but there is also the reality of it's not that fun all the time. But in the name of wellness, did do some soul-filling activities this week to bounce back from that. Went to the beach. So our home to the beach. If we take the long way, we can go through this national park. Oh my gosh, it was so pretty. And we had peaches in the basket. It trips me out that we're so close to the ocean. I don't know why it tickles my brain, but somehow this was the first day we had made it over to the beach since we moved here. Just had other stuff to do. And I need your opinion. My hair has been growing so fast. What was that? Maybe a month ago that I got a haircut?
Mm-hmm.
If. Remember how I was saying it was growing really fast up to that point too?
Mm-hmm.
I can already put it in a ponytail.
Like, wait a minute.
So now I have to decide if I'm going to commit to the short hair and go and get it cut again, or if I'm going to go back to growing it out.
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like commit to the style for a little bit. I feel like that's a really short chapter.
I know.
Already. Yeah, I think you have to commit. And I think with those kind of styles, people do say you have to kind of have a schedule of going back and getting it fresh. I mean, I'm with you. Like, I had a really shorter haircut back in March around my birthday, and it's already way too long. And I'm like, doing it, I leave tomorrow, and I didn't get to get a haircut scheduled. So I feel like try and keep up with it for a little bit. And then if you don't like it after, or not like it, but if you're kind of ready to move on after a couple more cuts, then continue on.
I agree. I feel like I still need to stay in the short hair era, but after having long hair basically my whole life, I'm like, what? I have to get a haircut every month? And yeah. Clay's had long hair for, I don't know, a couple years now too. And his appointment is already on Wednesday. And we both were like, what the fuck? We literally just cut our hair, which feels like yesterday.
Maybe you can learn to do it yourself.
I mean, I'll stick with the nails. Look at them now.
Yeah, you're like, wait, one thing at a time.
Yeah. They look even better than last week. I spent 2 hours. Yes.
That's very cute.
I'm getting better because I got a drill now and more files, and I'm learning how to do the shape better. And I'm really proud of myself. Like, I keep looking at them and I'm like, good work.
Good job, team.
Okay, one big exciting update. The last like 2 weeks, I have spent working on my website. I used to have a website way back in college because we had to have a portfolio for graphic design school. And then after I graduated, I just kept it up to get clients. Then once I started New Wave, I pretty much just put all my energy into New Wave. And I was like, I feel like I need a website again. So I spent so many hours making this website, figuring out how I wanted the structure to be, what I actually wanted on there, the colors, the branding. And it was so fulfilling. And honestly, my mental health is better now because I feel more grounded and organized. Because I'm like, okay, all of this stuff has a place now. It was like all of these ideas in my head and different random links and photos. I felt like they were scattered in the abyss of my phone and the internet and my brain. And now I'm like, okay, they have a place to live. Even if no one looks at it, like for me, it's organized. I just feel so much better. So if you guys want to look at it, you can. I also was debating on the domain because I'm like, I don't want to use allisonwedig.com. Like, something about having your own website, I feel like is so egotistical. Like, having your own Instagram, one thing, pretty much everyone does it. But having a website, I was putting it off because I'm like, who am I to have a website? Not my business, funny. Like me as a person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess it depends. Like you said, not your business or like for me, everyone in my industry has a website that's literally their name and has like all their credentials and what you can book them for, like what they do. Continue. Yeah.
There's wellness content on there, a bunch of blog posts, life updates, because I also love, love, love to write. And I've been doing longer Instagram captions, but there's a limit of where I feel like, okay, this is too long of an Instagram caption and I'm oversharing. And sometimes I just want to give more context for the few and far people in between that like really care, want the whole story. And it was actually helping me even process some stuff and feeling like, okay, if I work on this particular post, for example, one was how the noise happened at New Wave and I had to move out. It was actually very therapeutic to make that blog post because I actually had to like face it and unpack it. Mm-hmm. And be like, yes, this is what happened. Your feelings are valid. Okay, it's done. And now we can move on. And so I think it's helping me like tie a knot on some loose things.
Yeah, I feel like my friend Senya would say, because I know you're like, I don't know how I feel about using my name. I feel like she would say that your stories matter. That's her whole brand. And she actually just did a TED Talk on how everyone's stories matter. She would tell you to go forward with keeping it your name because you as a person and every single person's individual perspectives matter in your stories. Yeah, I get what you're saying to some degree, but I think what you're using it for totally negates that. And it's sharing your perspectives. And I also saw a very interesting TikTok that basically said, creative people that don't create feel big emotions and like maybe you're irritable or maybe you feel stressed and it's because your creativity doesn't have an outlet. And this sounds like a really good example of like using a website to be your creative outlet.
I feel like the video you saw is one I was also going to mention too, but that was nice that you brought up the positive side of it, was the hook on the video. Like, if you're a creative person and you don't have a project, you are miserable to be around. Was that the intro?
Yeah. Wait, yes. I mean, it had like a million likes. Yeah. I think I saw it really late because I had like 8 reposts from people that I follow.
I'm so used to having a physical thing to work on, like the mm-hmm. Airbnb or being at the shop. And I need like something tangible to work on. And even though the website is not physical, it's still a website. At least it's making me take more photos and write pen to paper and then transfer things over. So it's helping scratch that itch a little bit for now. I mean, like, would I love to just open a yoga studio or a coffee shop here? Yes, but like not the time with never visa. The baby's not here yet. And yeah, literally, like you said in that video, the big emotions that come up. So last night when I was doing my nails, I was watching Paige Lorenz's YouTube videos, and I really love her YouTube videos because they're very calming. It's really relaxing to have in the background if I'm doing something. And then this morning I woke up and I was kind of angry and I was like, why am I like so irritable this morning? And then I went to a sound bath, which we'll talk about later. And I went to the park to journal and I was like, I'm mad at myself for not doing enough. I'm mad at myself for making excuses for things that I want to do, but then I don't do them. I'm mad at myself for playing small and getting in my own way. I'm not jealous of her. I'm like, I love her. I'm so happy for her. But it made me realize like, yeah, she's a girl who's just like actually capitalizing on things. And anyone can do that, but you have to get out of your own way. And so it made me reflect and be like, yeah, I gotta get out of my own way here. Mm-hmm. The only person to blame is myself.
Yeah, and with that example, I don't remember the exact quote. It's something like envy isn't always you being envious, but it's showing what you could possibly do, or like showing you what's possible. I feel like that's just an example of like, yeah, like you're not jealous, but it's like, oh, you know that it's possible for you too.
And there's a quote that's like, you can't be jealous of something that you don't actually want either. Yeah. So if you're feeling jealous about someone, something, it really just deep down means that they have something that you want.
Which is good to notice.
Yeah, because sometimes it can be really helpful if you're like, oh yeah, actually, I really would like to grow my business. Okay, let's work on it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So with all of these things tying together with the 8 dimensions, I also feel like this is a helpful exercise because you can go through these different areas of your life and be like, yeah, where am I falling short that's actually making me sabotage myself and making me mad at myself? Because mm-hmm. I feel like when I start to get in those ruts, it's usually nothing in my surroundings. It's always just us at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But we'll get to that. Do you have anything else for catch up?
No, I'm ready to do peaks.
Perfect. Go right ahead.
I'll say my peak of the week was my friend Kenzie texted me that there's a jewelry store down the street from me that was having a birthday party for the owner. And so we went to this cute little birthday party. It was at Collections by Joya and got some bracelets, shopped. They had tarot readings. They had facials. They're doing all these different things, balloons. And with every purchase, you got to pick out, they had like a favorite things table where the owner's favorite things, you could pick out a couple of those and take those with you, which I thought was really fun. So it was like hair ties, scarves, beauty products, really nice event. So definitely recommend going to that jewelry store if you're in St. Louis. They have cute stuff, but it was really fun. And getting to hang out with Kenzie and yeah, got in a cute, it's like shells, very ocean inspired bracelet to add to my collection.
I love that. It's a good idea to have a favorite things table. If anyone has a small business, I feel like when it's your, I never know if you should say birthday or anniversary, like your 1 year, 2 year, 3 year business celebration. Mm-hmm. It's always hard to be like, what do we do
that's yeah.
actually worth bringing people in for and makes people care and isn't overdone? And it sounds like she did a really good job with it.
Yes. And she was turning 45. So everything was 45% off. Yeah. So kind of a fun little promo there. But it was a very nice event and such a cute area where the store is.
Nice. Love that. My peak of the week. Okay, I'll back up a little bit because this peak happened because on my Instagram story, I put, hey, does anyone from Omaha want to come to visit us? I have a suitcase with my bedding in it and some other heavy stuff that I didn't get to bring. If you could bring that checked bag, like you can stay with us, we'll show you around, whatever. And this brand that is the company of the bedding, it's called Attitude. They saw the story and it was their bedding that was in the suitcase. And they were like, we can just send you some new bedding. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, that'd be great. That would be much easier. And so she was like, perfect. What do you want? And this is totally my bad and her bad. First, she sent me the US site. So I like put in my order and she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. We have to like do the international website. Well, then the international website didn't have all the things. And there were actually more complications with the international site. So we were like, okay, we'll go back to the US site. And she's like, we'll just pay the VAT, whatever, we'll get it to you. So kind of kept getting delayed. And so we were literally just sleeping with one fitted sheet that I bought at this like grocery store down the street and a blanket for the last, how long have we been here? 6 weeks? Yes, a long time. So now have actual, a fitted sheet, a top sheet, a duvet cover, a silk pillowcase, and it's bamboo silk. Oh my God, it feels so good because in the Netherlands, there's like no AC here. It's kind of like Seattle and Portland where it doesn't get that hot, but because of global warming or whatever, it's getting a lot hotter. And there are many days where I'm like, I think the country could get behind some AC now. It is toasty. And so the wool blanket that we were sleeping with, it was pretty warm. And so we would just like be laying there naked, like so hot. The silk feels much, much better. So finally getting some good sleep again. My room feels like an adult bedroom now, feeling a little collegiate at the last month. But
there you go. That's a good peek.
Yeah. Sleep is important. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel much better. All right. Your guys' peaks of the week.
Oh, I feel bad. I was actually between this as well being my peak. Hania said, seeing Kara, so happy you stopped by Flat City on your drive back from Omaha. I really was not going to say either this one or the jewelry store. So this is also a bonus peak for me because Platte City is where Hania lives. And it's literally right off the interstate on the way back from Omaha or on the way to Omaha from St. Louis. So I texted her and I was like, we have 10 minutes. Connor wants to get home, but we have to get gas and get coffee. So come say hi. So we literally hung out for 10 minutes and then she went home. But good little catch up with Hania.
Stop. That's so cute.
Connor was like, no one does this. I'm like, well, I do this. I'm the kind of person that wants to see their friend for 10 minutes. So,
hey, something is better than nothing.
Yes, agreed.
Aaron said, through a, quote, summer house themed party. How fun. Perfectly seasonally appropriate. Hope it was the best time.
Lisa said, had a successful first craft fair for my small business of various homemade items. Amazing. Congratulations. And hope you have many more craft fairs.
And Maggie said, going to the farmer's market. That is such a low-key, incredible thing about summer. They have one here on Saturdays. And this Saturday, we went to the beach. And the Saturday before that, we went to Amsterdam. And Clay and I are like, okay, next Saturday, we're going to the farmer's market. We need to do it. So thank you for inspiring me.
As always, send in your peaks on our Instagram page, Already Friends Podcast. We post the story box every Monday. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and talk about one of our sponsors real quick, Shopify. As you guys know, starting a small business, there's nothing small about it. There are so many things to do. And both myself and Allison run a business, obviously, we run this podcast, and it has been consuming us since we started. There's always a new decision to make. And sometimes those small decisions feel so massive. And something that really helps you when you have a small business is choosing a company that has a great reputation, that does things right, so that the small decisions can be the right decision. So that's why we love Shopify. It is the best commerce platform, and Shopify is behind millions of businesses around the world. Did you know it actually is 10% of all e-commerce in the US is Shopify? So that's brands like Mattel, Gymshark, Skims, you name it. Those brands use Shopify. You can tackle all of your important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Shopify makes the marketing minefield easy with built-in tools for running social media and email campaigns, so you can find new customers and keep them. And if you're looking to grow your business internationally, Shopify has global selling tools that can help you in over 150 countries. I mean, for us, it's a no-brainer. Shopify is the e-commerce platform to use if you're selling anything online. Get all the big stuff right for your small business right now with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. You can use the code alreadyfriends to get a $1 per month trial. Again, at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thanks to Shopify for sponsoring the show. Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, well, getting into the topic, I feel like you explained it perfectly. We'll say the eight dimensions, go one by one, and then share a current favorite practice. This will be fun because I feel like we're always changing things up and new practices come, and I have some new ones to share, so I'm excited.
All right, jumping into the first one, emotional. Mine is learning how to actually, quote, feel my feelings instead of just logically processing them. I obviously have been aware when I've had feelings like, oh, I'm experiencing happiness. Oh, I'm experiencing anger. I'm experiencing sadness. But my brain would jump to calculating why I was feeling that. And then I would do all the things. I would journal. I would reflect and be like, yes, it's valid that you're angry. Yes, this makes sense. But I wouldn't let myself actually really, really feel the feelings. I would just put up the block. So I thought I was feeling them because I was acknowledging them, but I wasn't in my heart and body feeling them, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny. I didn't even see you wrote this, but I wrote a practice for how to feel your feelings that I literally just learned. So I won't lie, I haven't done this too much. Learned this in the last couple of weeks from a friend, but same thing of actually feeling your feelings. And this person told me that she does an orb of light emotional practice, which step by step, I'll walk you guys through it. She was saying, imagine seeing a feeling in your body. So if it's anger, because I was like, okay, help me with the anger one, because that's the one emotion where I'm like, if something is so upsetting to me, I can spiral. And she's like, okay, where do you feel anger? I'm like, probably in my brain or like upstairs somewhere. And she's like, okay, imagine whenever you get angry that feeling is an orb of light and it's up in your brain and you're going to move it down through your body. So you feel angry, imagine the anger inside you and you move it down from your brain to your throat and move it down into your heart space. And you want to breathe, gently guide that orb of light to wherever, from wherever it's coming. Gently move that down into your heart space and then breathe it through. So let it settle in your heart and then breathe through that emotion and fully feel it. I think, like Allison said, sometimes we either don't process our emotions or we think them through instead of feeling them through. So this orb of light practice where you take it from where it is, like maybe it's in your feet, maybe it's in your arms. For me, sometimes it's up in my head and you move it to your heart and imagine it moving as this orb of light and then breathe it out. So a more complicated way to say process your feelings, but a step-by-step tutorial if you guys need it.
Okay, I love that. How coincidental that that was yours. So thank you. And I like that name, Orb of Light.
Yeah, she didn't give it a name, but I'm like, I'm going to call it the Orb of Light practice because I can't think of what else to call this. And I think it perfectly describes it.
It's kind of giving me the same energy as if you're starting to be overcome by anxiety and you're moving really quickly to notice each of the senses. Be like, okay, where am I? Four walls. Okay, I can see things around me. What do I smell? What do I hear? And noticing those senses helps ground you, make you feel more present and stop stressing about whatever was going on. And I feel like that's kind of giving a similar process. So I will actually probably implement that because I like to do the other one when I'm getting anxious about something.
All right. Okay, moving on to physical. Nothing too much in my physical exercise has changed. I have shared time and time again that I do a mix of lifting, legree, walking. So I'm going to share a different physical wellness routine. We got a red light panel recently. We've had a red light mask, one from Higher Dose for years, but I've heard a lot of good benefits about an actual panel. And so we invested and got, it was a couple hundred dollars, maybe $300, which is a lot, but it's like a bigger panel that you lay on the ground and you sit in front of for 15 minutes and it's so much stronger, brighter. This has helped me physical wise because I'm sitting in front of blue screens all day and the red really helps counteract because I've noticed lately my eyes, I think it's also aging, but they're really starting to hurt at the end of the day. And then when I wake up, it's like harder for my eyes to adjust to like being awake. I feel like I have to blink through for at least like 10, 15 minutes to like adjust. Like I can see, but there's just something with my eyes feel like they're harder to wake up. And the red light therapy has totally helped with that. There's also just a ton of good benefits for your skin, for anti-aging, for even like skin conditions, psoriasis, like all these different types of skin things. Or red light therapy can really help. And it's been a really great addition.
I love that one. Whenever I go back to Omaha, I go to Beam, which is a red light infrared sauna place. And yeah, even though it doesn't feel like much, then you're like, oh, this is so nice. I always feel good after I leave there.
1,000%.
Love that one. Very Dutch appropriate, but I have to say bike riding right now, it just taps me into my inner child. I loved riding a bike when I was a kid. My parents, myself and my sister, we'd go on bike rides all the time when we were kids. And it just feels like such a wholesome activity. And it's not too straining on the body. So even though we've been going for these longer bike rides, it feels less like, oh, I'm working out, even though it actually by the end, like when we biked to Amsterdam and back, who knows exactly how accurate the watches are, but Clay's watch said 1500 calories.
Wow.
And yesterday would have been not quite as far, but still like pretty far. When we went to Amsterdam, I forgot to say it last time, but when we got there, we got like this chef's tasting menu at this Indian restaurant that was so much food because we were like, we deserve it. But I love that it's a mode of transportation that's so healthy. It's so efficient. It's quiet. Now when a moped goes by, I'm like, gosh, that's so loud. Like the bikes just blend in. They're peaceful. And yeah, I really, really love biking. And I have, even in college, I had a bike until my tires got stolen. So I will continue to be a biking girl. Even if your city's not that bike friendly, getting a bike and going, if there's like a lake in your area or some sort of trail, it is just the most fun weekend activity. And you can do it with friends. The people here have made it such a lifestyle. Like I saw this lady, she was holding one of those coffee carriers with four hot coffees in her hand while biking down the street. Like it is so efficient. And I feel like in the US, bikes don't get enough love for what a great invention they are.
It's so true.
I could keep going, but I'll stop.
In New York City, they have the bikes, but it's so different because it's so dangerous. Like you really can't do it. It depends where you are. But the one time where I was running so late to stand volleyball and the subway was going to take 30 minutes and I literally had like 15 minutes and it was a 15-minute bike, even though it was like definitely across some like dangerous roads. It was crazy. I got there in time with a minute to spare. And I'm like, dang, biking is so nice. But in places like Amsterdam where you feel safe and you don't feel like you're going to get run over by cars, it is such a blessing.
I know. It makes me want to like start a whole movement in the US. I'm like so passionate about it. Like, why can't we have bike lanes? I have this friend, Michael. He moved back to Iowa, but he was so passionate about biking in Omaha. Like, he would always ride his bike down to New Wave and park it out front. And he would get so heated about how cars like didn't pay attention to him. He was like, people will just fling their door open, not even check. And he's like, I have to be on high alert. And here I am trying to do something environmentally friendly, healthy for my body, get out, see people, experience the world. And yet I'm, quote, in the way.
That's so sad.
I do not stand for biker slander. I'm on the biker's side of things.
Yes, I agree. Okay, spiritual. What do you have for this one?
Sound baths. As I've gone to probably almost 10 since I've moved here, the girl who leads them at the studio I go to here, she has the most amazing voice. And she also does drums and triangles and wind chimes, like the xylophone. She's got like all of her instruments out. It's a whole thing.
Instrument. Yeah.
No, I'm like, you are so talented. I'm like, how are you leading us through a guided meditation and doing the bowls? And then you're over here on the drum. Like, good for you. It's really, really impressive. And I've always gone to sound baths, but I didn't really know what the actual benefits were besides like, this is really relaxing and I like it. So I looked up some stats so that if you guys are considering trying one, because they're not that cheap. Like, usually I feel like they're probably like $40 to $50. So if you're like, is that worth spending to just go lay on a mat and listen to some nice sounds? Yes, it is. Because here's why. Sound moves through water 4 times faster than air, and the body is 70% water. So the sounds can bring a deep cellular reset, which can switch you out of fight or flight and into rest and digest mode. And so it can be as rejuvenating as a full night's sleep.
Wow.
You've done some.
Yes, but that's really interesting, all of that information, because I could be doing more. This is my category. If we're choosing one of the 8 that is our worst, don't want to speak so negatively, but yes, needs more attention. So maybe I'll look into some sound baths in St. Louis, because yes, I have been to a handful and they were all wonderful and amazing. And I would agree, they're worth the money. For me, I have fallen off. I'm getting back on because at the tarot reading at that event, that was my peak of the week, the little tarot gal was like, do you meditate? I'm like, how'd you know that I've fallen off? Like, I was doing that daily book and probably have not done it in 2 months. And she's like, you need to get back on it. So that's my sign. So I did it this morning. But yes, just having a book that makes it easy to do it, whether that's the Calm app or some sort of habit that makes it easier to do, I think that's a good spiritual practice. But then also, another practice I try to do is when things go wrong in my day-to-day life, like you miss a flight or someone cuts you off, my spiritual practice is just always trusting that I'm supposed to be exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I feel like that's a constant reminder, not only to protect your peace, but yeah, to just not get mad at things. And I guess it kind of is emotional as well, but just trusting in God and that exact, like that everything that's happening to you is happening for a reason. So then you can't really be mad because you're like, no, I'm actually supposed to be in the slow lane right now. Like, I'm not supposed to be flying up and passing all the cars just for whatever reason.
Couldn't agree more. I feel like a word that just keeps coming up so much not between Clay and I, but we were just like, patience. And I feel like patience is so tied with a spiritual practice, because if you're wanting something and it's not coming fast enough, or like the traffic example you gave, you're like, why are the cars going so slow? Or you're in line for coffee and it's taking a while. Like, literally, patience can solve 90% of your issues, especially in today's modern society where things are going so fast that we're used to such immediate gratification. I feel like if you can break down something that you're angry about or a problem, if you can add in some patience and gratitude, like, that sounds so rudimentary, but I feel like that does solve it 90% of the time.
1,000%. And also, this kind of ties into it, but just noticing that things that make you mad, there's no objective rule that says that has to irritate you. Like, even when people are like, well, it's so annoying when someone stands up and cuts to the front of the plane right when everyone lands. It's like, well, that objectively to you might be annoying, but there's no rule that says that's annoying. You're just choosing to let it bother you. I saw this video, which is crazy, but like these people fighting at this checkout line at this like store. And then the girl got on and did an explanation like, well, they kept pushing my stroller behind me and like they were just being so rude. So I turned and I punched them. I'm like, well, girl, like, yeah, you have a reason that you did it, but like you could have also just chose to not let that bother you. Or like they were making fun of me and calling me names. And I feel like a good spiritual practice is to be like, actually, that doesn't bother me. Actually, just go ahead. Even though on pen and paper, yeah, maybe those people are bad people and you shouldn't let them go in front of you. Like, you shouldn't reward bad behavior. But it is a spiritual practice to not let things bother you.
And I know we should probably move on, but I'm going to say this yeah. because it ties in so well. I got this from my mom and I brought it up before. But if something is annoying you and in your head, you're like, I'm trying to let this deflect, but it's not really working. Literally turning your heart away from whatever it is. Like if I'm at a coffee shop and there's someone who's eating gross, even though in my head, I'm like, don't let it bother you. Don't let it bother you. If I can all like change chairs and sit in the opposite chair or redirect my vision, or same in the sound bath, the girl next to me was breathing really loud. So I just like flipped onto my side. And then to myself in my head, I'm like, I don't have to let them into my bubble.
Yeah.
And your heart space, I feel like, is the entry into that bubble of letting, I don't know, things enter your field. So even if it's woo-woo, mentally, spiritually, physically, scientifically, I think it works because you're closing off whatever you don't want. And it's even kind of telling your brain like, hey, I'm putting up a wall. I don't want to be paying attention to that. Like, let me pay attention to something else over here. And whatever your attention is on, like, it's going to focus on it and make it bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So if something's bothering you and you keep focusing on it, it's just going to keep magnifying.
Yeah, sorry, I went on a rant there, but we can move on. Hopefully it made sense or resonated a little bit to anybody. Okay, moving into financial, my practice right now is practicing smart spending and conscious consumerism. And I'll give two tips or examples of what I mean by that. For smart spending, a practice that I do constantly is just evaluating what I value and then spending money or not spending money on things that I do or don't value. So for example, Connor loves coffee. Like, his passion is coffee. He could go out and have coffee every single day because that's valuable to him, but he does not order out. Like, we never get takeout. Him specifically, he never gets takeout. He never goes out to eat because that's just not his priority. But for him, he likes to indulge in getting a coffee every single day. For me, unless I want to go out and experience a coffee shop and be in an enjoyable environment, for the most part, I value a black coffee at home the same as getting a coffee at a coffee shop. So I'm going to save that money. I'm going to make a black cup of coffee at home every day for 10 cents or whatever it costs and spend my money in things I value, like going on trips or extending a work trip to stay longer. So just smart spending of not splurging in every single category all the time. Or I know some people love to shop. For me, I have a Nuuly subscription, so it's $100 a month, and then I don't really buy too many new clothes because I just get to pick out stuff every month. So just being conscious of what I value and then spending money or not spending money to the things that I don't value. And then conscious consumerism, I've been practicing buy it cheap, buy it twice, and just thinking about things that I need in my house. Okay, can I just buy the high quality version? Because that phrase, buy it cheap, buy it twice, I've definitely experienced in my day-to-day life. Or if you want to change it up, I heard also buy once, cry once, which is funny because it's like, oof, rip off the Band-Aid, buy it once, but then your money comes back and then you have something that lasts a long time. I can think of so many different categories where that applies. Like my $300 Bose, or maybe like $350 Bose headphones I got March 2020 when the COVID pandemic hit. 5 years later, they have lasted so long. They're probably going to last 20 years. Like my dad, we've been a Bose family forever, has had like the same pair of Bose headphones for 20 years. I'm not even kidding. Maybe he just replaced them recently, but they lasted or have lasted 20 years. Just going for the high quality item, I feel like, is a good practice I've been doing lately.
I love both of those phrases. Buy once, cry once, or buy it cheap, buy it twice. I feel like there's a post I could make on 1404's page with that. Like,
yeah,
invest in nicer clothes, invest in the natural fibers, leather, cotton, linen, silk, wool. Or if you buy polyester, you're going to wash it once and it's going to fall apart and shrink. So I love that. And as you said, it applies to so many categories. It's a really good reminder.
Yeah. What's your current financial practice?
Well, this is kind of just applicable to me in my scenario. So maybe as I'm talking, I'll think of something that you guys could actually apply to your life. But being in freelance or having a lot of project-based work, either I would do the billing where I'd get paid 50% up front, 50% on delivery, or get all of it at the end. And sometimes quite a bit after, like sometimes net 30, net 60, net 90. It can take a long time to get paid, which I mean, back to the immediate gratification thing, it's hard to practice patience with your income sometimes because it makes it hard to budget if you're like, okay, I have outstanding income for like months on end. So with this current client that I have him on weekly billing. And I started that from day one when I started working with him. And normally whenever I've worked with clients in the past on an ongoing basis, I always did monthly billing. And like that was fine. It's still consistent. But having the weekly billing, I actually feel like I do so much more for him because each week I'm getting rewarded. And so every time I see his order, I just have it set as a subscription on my website to auto pay. I'm like, oh yeah, let me go do some more stuff from him because he just paid me. And I honestly feel like that's kind of a little hack. Like if you are in a position where you could ask for weekly pay, you might actually end up delivering a better service or whatever it is that you do because you're rewarded more often. And then maybe it could be better on the client, especially if it's auto billing. They don't have to dish out so much at once.
Yeah, that's really good insight.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of anything that could actually be applicable to you guys.
No, I think that is good. Either if you're hiring somebody or I feel like there's a lot of freelance people out there. So I think that is great advice.
I mean, my assistant that I had in Tulum, I paid her every single day.
Oh, yeah, there's a route too.
And for the vendors at the shop, I pay them every single week. Mm-hmm. And that's my choice as the owner. It's more work for me to have to do payroll every single week. But I feel like it makes people motivated. They get paid every Monday. Yeah, you're right. If you are a business owner or in charge, more or even just more frequent rewards, I feel like help. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Next one, career, which is adjacent to financial. But how are you implementing this right now?
I feel like you. I feel like my advice is not going to be applicable to everybody, but I guess it's the end of my 20s. I feel like right now I'm just having a lot of clarity with my career and having intentional career growth. So just assessing is what I'm doing with my work, still aligning with my values, with my goals, long-term goals. So constant check-ins with myself. And if it's not, I feel like I have been building my skills to put more of my career into my own hands. As someone like you who's freelance, does my own thing, I've been slowly just setting myself up to rely less on external companies, you know, having the ball on everybody else's court and more of setting myself up to just be able to be successful on my own.
Yeah, with the freelance world, this kind of goes into last week's episode of income streams. It's like you have to forego the short term. Like when you're starting your own business or you're starting freelance or you're starting some sort of side hustle, it's so hard to forego that really nice steadiness and security from a big company. But in the long run, then I do feel like it's better and it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I mean, you've been doing this for many, many years, so it makes sense. And same, like I even go back and forth with it, like how I have this client. I'm like, oh, if I just put all of my effort into my own thing, then I could double down on it. But I really like the security of having a paycheck from him. So I feel you on that.
It's the constant, like both are great. So you really can't ever obviously go wrong. But it's like, well, if I did risk it, I could earn twice as much or three times as much, but then you don't have the stability. So it's a constant game of what should you do. But yes, I feel like lately checking in with myself and I feel like I've just gotten a lot more clarity and confidence with my career lately.
I love that.
What's your career practice right now?
Well, I talked about it in the beginning, but my own website. And even though that's not directly tied to my career, I feel like it's laying a foundation to help me organize everything so then I can decide where I want my career to move to next. Do I want to put more effort into 1404 and maybe franchise it? Do I want to relaunch Shop the New Wave and then maybe eventually sell that? Do I want to go more into freelance? Do I want to take a step back and focus on motherhood? And through making these blog posts for myself and organizing my life, it's actually helping me figure out what I want from my career. And then literally in the sound bath today, the card I drew was like, you're almost at your goal. Like you're bulging. It was funny because it was like, you're the moon right before a full moon and you're bulging. I'm like, yeah, I am a pregnant bulging woman about to explode. It does feel like that. But it was like your idea is like there and you just need to like let it shine. But yeah, in summary, getting organized, I think, is my first step in figuring out where I want to pivot next. And we'll see.
Absolutely. Okay, great.
Next, environmental. And for context, environmental can be like as small as your home environment or your neighborhood or the world at large. So you could take this one in a variety of ways.
Yes, all the spaces you reside in. So I went with my home route and I did see a TikTok recently that was like, I want to hear everyone's craziest tips for how to keep a clean home. Not like wipe down every night before you go to bed. No, the crazy practices. And one of the comments I saw was I pretend like someone's coming over at all times. And I'm like, wait, I also do that. So that's my tip for this one, is just pretending like you're always expecting somebody to come over to your house. So I just keep it where instead of just setting something down or letting something get too comfortable somewhere, try to always put things away immediately. Always try to keep my bathroom clean. Always try to keep the front entrance to my house, like when you open the door, keep that clean. So I guess another practice with this is that I limit having a messy space to one part of my house only. So if my closet is messy, nowhere else in my house can be messy. Or if my office is messy, okay, I gotta clean up my closet, gotta clean up literally everything else. So I try to limit the messes to one room. So those are my two tips for today.
Wow, I guess I've never really thought about it, but I do the same thing.
Pretending.
I just am convinced that someone could come over at all times and it just always has to be spotless.
Because it does happen, and there's literally no worse feeling than someone wanting to use your bathroom and you're like, go ahead, but it's like so gross and crusty. So that is my rule to prevent that.
Yeah, and I do feel like when I lived in Omaha, that would happen to me all the time. And now, even though no one would pop by... And I like having it clean anyway, but I do think if you weren't someone that was naturally as clean and organized, that could help instill some fear. Because I'm always fascinated when people are like, someone's coming over, we got to clean. I'm like, oh, you don't just like do it every day?
Yeah, I mean, I used to be like that and it was the worst. It would take like 4 hours to get the house spotless, ready to go. And now I've just learned to keep it more in equilibrium. So it's like, okay, if someone's coming over, vacuum. Tidy up a little bit, but it's not like the full deep clean reset that I used to have to do.
Yeah, I did get into some TikTok rabbit hole. People were sharing their like messy bedrooms.
No.
Did you see that trend? This was probably like a month or two ago. I am terrified. I cannot believe people can live like that. And I'm not trying to throw shade and I get mental health or things, but some of these were beyond clutter. It was full blown like, this is scary. I don't know. We'll see how I am as a parent, but like, I cannot imagine letting my child just live in an absolute craziness in their bedroom. Like, I did not grow up that way. We made our beds every day. We tidied up. We hung up our clothes. We folded them and put them away out of the laundry. And truly, not to sound preachy, I'm just like, the thoughts are coming. I think it's easier to clean all the time. I feel like it would cause more stress and take longer to have to do these massive cleans than to just tidy up as you go.
For sure. And it's just something, just like some brain thing where there's some block where some people it clicks for them that way and others it doesn't. I mean, if McKenna is listening to this right now, she's gonna be like, what the hell? Because growing up, my room, so clean. You walk in, bed always made, nothing on the floor, but then you'd open my closet and there'd be like clothes all over the floor because I was one of those people that could never decide what to wear. And then I would just like always wake up 10 minutes before I need to leave. So I probably always had like 10 shirts, 10 pants. Not dirty stuff, like never dirty underwear or anything, but like always clean clothes on the floor. But I have grown out of that and I've gotten much better.
Proud of you.
But in middle school, you could have told me that my life would have been easier just putting things away and not having to do it all for like 30 minutes at the end of the week. But just something in my brain wouldn't believe you. So force yourself to get out of that lazy. It's honestly laziness for me. Force yourself to get out of that lazy habit and just make it easier for the future you.
Yeah, that is really what it's about. It's not sabotaging future you because current you doesn't want to do it. I mean, that can be said for so many things. And we all have our areas where we do better at honoring our future self than others. Mine is very eco-friendly. It is sorting our trash here. When I lived in Tulum, we did it as well. We would sort all of the recycling out and I would take it to the recycling center. And here, there's one drawer under our sink in the kitchen and there's four tiny little cans. They're maybe 2 gallon. It gets so small. I mean, think of a drawer having four cans inside of it. One is for paper, one's for plastic, one's compostable, one's trash. And I'm so proud of the Netherlands, like as a whole country. I'm just so impressed that they like have their citizens all participating in this. And in the months and some weeks that we've lived here, we have only taken out our trash 2 times. So we have only made literally like a little bit more than a gallon of milk of trash because everything else can be recycled. There's like no litter here because constantly on every corner, like you would never be, I don't know, 100 yards without these trash cans. And I just hate litter so much. I think it really pollutes visually the environment, not just on a plastics level. Like there's studies, it literally makes violence go up because people are like, oh, there's like a lack of respect here. And so I am such a firm believer in not littering. And seeing it happen here at scale makes me so happy because I feel like this is always something I've been passionate about. But then I'm like the weird girl who's like scrubbing out my peanut butter container. I just wish the US could get on board a little bit. It's nice not being surrounded by like so much overconsumption.
That's really beautiful. Happy that they have some sort of process figured out. Okay.
Moving on to a more fun one.
Yeah. No, that's okay. That's fun. Caring about the environment is fun. Social. What's your current social practice?
Getting out of the house and going to a coffee shop to work. I can't say I've been doing an amazing job of making friends. I've made some friends at my yoga studio, but just to get my social cup filled, instead of working from home all the time, when Clay does his coaching calls, I go to a coffee shop. So I have like my favorite 10, and I'm starting to get to know some baristas or some other local people that I just frequently see. And it's nice to just have like a little dose of talk time or comfort and not even feel like I actually have to talk, just being out of the house.
Yeah, I did not write that one, but I fully echo that. Trying to get out of the house as well has been a good one for me. But the one I wrote is for social and just meeting up with friends. Lately, I've just been setting a time and place and then just open invite blasting it to people to come hang out. So for example, I'll either put on my close friends like, hey, who wants to come to Forest Park? I'm going to sit there Friday night at 5 o'clock, whoever wants to come, or make a dinner reservation that I'll text friends and then just mix my friends together. And it's really fun.
I love that. I used to do that in Omaha all the time. Don't have enough roster here yet to have things to send out like that, but we'll get there.
I love that.
I think it takes the pressure off because sometimes, you know, plans change or people aren't feeling it after a long work day or something. And so then it's kind of like, hey, I'm already going to do this. No pressure. If it feels right in the moment, come. And then I feel like it kind of makes it spontaneous and not so much like so planned.
Exactly. Because I hate when things feel so planned. Like I want hanging out with people just feel organic. And if you can't come, literally no worries. Mm-hmm. Like, because there is, when something feels like such an event to do, like such a lift, then there's a way less likely chance it's going to happen. Or if it falls through, then it just has more of like a, oh, that really sucked. I feel like there can be like drama. But when it's just a little lift, and then it also lets people know that you're thinking of them. And yeah, just putting the invite out there, I feel like it's good. Good energy. Okay.
I couldn't agree more.
Yes. Okay. Last one, intellectual. What is your intellectual practice?
Well, a practice that I'm doing is more puzzles. Mm-hmm. We did that 1,500-piece puzzle, which was very stimulating. And the other day when I was at the thrift store, I got another one. I'm trying to only buy vintage puzzles because they're really cute. The boxes are cute and they can sit on my shelf and kind of be a piece of artwork. So I got a 500-piece one now. But on a intellectual level of something I'm enjoying learning is Ayurveda. I keep saying to Kara, I'm like, can we please have an Ayurveda guest on? Not that you've ever said no. So if anyone out there listening is an expert in Ayurveda, please reach out to us because I would really love to have you on. And I just think it's fascinating. And I went down the rabbit hole with it when I was in Tulum when I first got pregnant to figure out my dosha type. And now my hyperfixation is on food combinations. Like, did you know you're not supposed to have milk and bananas at the same time? Once you eat them and they go into the stomach, they act very differently. The bananas apparently like kind of go sour. And so your body's like working too hard to break down these things with very different processes. And apparently there's a lot of food combinations that many of us eat all the time. Like I literally have had a peanut butter banana smoothie 3 to 5 days a week for the last like 10 years. Usually I use a non-dairy milk, but still.
Literally had a milk banana chocolate protein smoothie this morning.
Exactly. And it dawned on me, you know how a lot of fitness girlies have, they're like so cut, but then they have like the bloating issues. And mm-hmm. people say, oh, when they're like trying to increase the protein, then they're having all of this gas. And I'm wondering if it's tied to the milk and banana because they're eating the protein milk banana smoothies all the time. And then it's making them gassy and bloated. So I don't know. Look into it if you guys are having any digestive issues, like bad common food pairings, and see if there's anything that you're eating like every day on that list. Because individually, like milk is great, bananas are great. You're just not supposed to do them together. And when you think about it outside of your body, there's so many things that we're like, oh, we would never put those two flavors together. Like that's weird. That wouldn't taste right, or that texture would be weird. But then how come in our brains we assume that once everything just goes down the hatch, that it all just perfectly digests? Mm-hmm. Like that just doesn't work that way. So that's my current intellectual interest.
Very cool. I hope we can have somebody on because I'm like, when you always say that, I'm like, literally don't even know what that is. My curiosity will definitely be interested in having that guest on. I'll say for my intellectual practice, I've been doing Spanish lessons once or twice a week. And that's my current intellectual hobby because, as you guys know, I double majored in Spanish in college and with the language. If you don't keep practicing it, it can kind of fall off or you can just lose confidence in speaking it. So that's been my fun hobby of stimulating my brain, listening to Spanish podcasts like the How To Spanish podcast and learning about Mexican culture or do's and don'ts, what to say or what you think translates and what doesn't translate. And yeah, just stimulating that part of my brain that's language learning. And I feel very confident now. Went to, like I said in another episode, a Spanish speaking meetup recently and basically could fully be fluent with everyone else talking. So that was really fun. And now I'm thinking after France, I might pop over to Spain for a couple of days just so I can practice more and like talk and go on walking tours in Spanish as a reward for doing this. I've been doing this every week for at least 2 months now. I've been using Preply. If you guys want, I'll link my Preply code in the show notes. I think everyone gets a code that you can share. And I highly recommend it. If you're doing Duolingo or something and you just don't feel like you're making any progress, a virtual lesson every week or twice a week, I feel like I've improved exponentially.
No, I'm so impressed that you have kept doing that because you're in St. Louis and you're still following through with it. And when I was literally living in Mexico, I was not following through. So props to you because that's a hard thing to stay consistent with when you're not faced with it every day.
Yeah, and there were definitely times in the beginning where I'm like, it's so hard. Sometimes like you're speaking another language. Obviously, it's hard. I'm like 5 minutes before I get on the call, I'm like, I want to cancel so bad and just not do it. But I'm like, no, I paid for it. And I guess like having that monetary subscription like also holds you to it. I'm like, I paid for it. I'm going to get my value's worth. My tutor is not judging me if I can't say something. Like, obviously, you have better days and worse days. But I definitely have had several times like that gut feeling of like, oh, I just really don't want to do this. But I just force myself anyways.
Yeah, that's really inspiring. I need to do that with Dutch so bad. I've been watching all the movies that we've been going to and anything I put on the TV, I put the Dutch subtitles on.
Mm-hmm.
It's also interesting how different languages, when you say something like, oh, catch you later, like, okay, yes. Bye, catch you later in English.
Doesn't translate.
And then I see the thing on the screen and I'm like, it'll be like, bye. Like, just, yes. Just bye. You know, and you're like, oh, okay, so there's not a translation for that one. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. I think that's really fascinating.
I agree. When you want to say something in Spanish, but they have a phrase that means something similar and it does not word for word translate in the slightest. Or if you're like, my heart dropped in Spanish, it's like my head goes to my feet. Or it's like whatever their phrase is. I guess it's kind of similar, but there's other ones that you're saying that are just not similar at all. And I do find that fascinating too.
Yep. Same. Well, good for you. I might honestly use your Preply link because I have no excuse.
I mean, it's an extracurricular. There's no pressure. I just always get so inspired by people who speak multiple languages.
It's so cool.
I wanted to do French. That was one of my 2024 goals, was to learn another language. But I'm like, I don't even have Spanish fully down. So I was like, I need to go back, knock out Spanish, like get really confident in that again, and then start a new language. At least for me, that's how I felt.
Yeah, I think that's where I've gone wrong because I would say I'm about the same in Spanish and German. And then now I'm just like throwing Dutch into the mix and it's like, ah, oh, fuck. Back to square one.
I bet there's people would say that's good though. Like my thought process probably does not mean that's right. I feel like people say multiple at a time would be good.
I mean, you say that until you accidentally say gracias at a restaurant.
I know. No, literally playing Sandlot. People that are fully American, like I had gone to the Spanish speaking meetup the day before and like I literally was like, lo siento. When I, uh-huh. I'm like, oh my God. What, like, they probably think I'm a freak. Like, why did I say that? Like,
same.
So
I've done
weird.
That so many times.
I'm like, not even in a Spanish speaking country, like, or have not even been to one recently. I'm like, why did I say that? It's so embarrassing. No, I literally did that. I was so embarrassed.
Same. And I was like, hola. And then I'm like, oh my God, what am I saying? He's going to think we are so weird.
No, because I've had this happen. I think I was doing something similar, like with Italian or French. And there's a phenomenon where it's, something, it makes sense, but it doesn't make it any less embarrassing. I'm like, oh my God, why did I say that? Anyways.
Well, I'm glad that it's not just me.
Thank you guys for being here. That was fun to do a little check-in, go through our eight dimensions, and hopefully you guys checked in as well. Maybe this brought to your attention some areas that need improvement or practices that you can also implement to get your eight dimensions, feeling full.
Okay, for good measure, rapid fire, really fast. What do you think your one or two strongest dimensions is right now?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. Well, maybe intellectual, since I've been doing all these lessons. So, and reading a lot, that's another one that's been pretty consistent for me. And maybe career. I've been putting a lot of attention to that. How about you?
Good for you. I would say mine is probably environmental or spiritual and emotional, mostly because we moved here and I just feel like it's serving me well at this time of my life. I've been meaning to write a blog post on my website. So now this is where that will live. But kind of how Tulum turned me off spiritually from the type of spiritual that Tulum is. I feel like there's a lot of people in Tulum that are just like trying to be the spiritual personality, and it's very overdone and overcompensated.
That's very interesting. That makes sense, honestly.
Yeah, I have a lot to say. It's probably not super appropriate, but I'll put it on my website.
Yeah. Is it AllisonWettig.com?
Yeah. Yes, it's AllisonWettig.com.
Okay, I love it. I can't wait to check it out. Thank you guys for being here, for listening to another episode of Already Friends, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.